We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Broward County. This is Bob Arthurs, and I can tell you I'm getting kind of excited. My therapy schedule is beginning to wind down, and I don't even know how many more therapy schedules or sessions I have before I see the doctor, but the shoulder is feeling better. The eye is okay, and it still needs some improvement there. But thank you all for everyone who has prayed with us through this 2015. It's been a year of physical challenges for sure, but we want to thank the body of Christ for everyone who held us up. And with that being said, if you have a prayer request that you would like us to join with you about, contact us either via Facebook or at meritassembly@hotmail.com. You can reach us via our website, meritassembly.com. You can call us and leave us a message. You can drop us a note. Any way you want to do it, drop us in a note indicating what your prayer request is. We'll be thrilled to pray with you for that. A week ago last night, we had a man that dropped into our service, and there was a younger man with him and a young boy that was with him, and they were an answer to prayer. The man that was visiting, the older of the three, he had been a part of our congregation for a number of years, and just about every time that we would have prayer requests, he would say, "Pastor, please pray for my family." He named the country where they came from. My son and his family are trying to immigrate to America, and just pray. They've got a meeting. Pray every week. Pray. You know, we'd ask for prayer requests. This guy would go up, and I would call on him, and I'd just automatically start writing down the prayer requests because I want to make sure that I don't forget any. And I knew what he was. You know, at least one of the requests was going to be pray for my son. And he said, "Tonight I wanted to bring you all proof that God answers the prayers." And one of the sons had made it to America. The other one was still in process. And so we want you to know God is a prayer answering God. He does miracles. So I was talking to a person last week and said that we would be praying for a situation in their life. And my response was, "We're going to be praying that this situation in your life gets resolved fast and not slow." And spoke to them the very next day, and they said, "Wow, you really knew what you were talking about, because God had already begun to answer their prayers." And so we rejoice in what God has done. So I want to take you back today into the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 2. We do want to remind you one more time about JITS Concrete. If you need any concrete work, maybe you need a driveway repaired, a sidewalk repaired, something along those lines. Maybe you need some stucco work or block work done. Maybe you're building an addition onto your house, whatever. If you need anything like that done, give them a call, 536-5804. That will get you Greg's phone number, or that will get you Greg at the other end of that number, and tell him you heard about it on the Refresh radio broadcast. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and if they can be a blessing to you, reach out to them and give them a call. So this is an exciting week for us as we're building up for our Thanksgiving outreach this coming Saturday. And I do want to let you know that this coming Sunday, not a week from Sunday, but this Sunday, we will be having our Thanksgiving dinner after our morning service. And we would love for you to come and be a part of that. We are a grateful people, a thankful people, thankful for everything that God is doing. And so if you'd like to come, maybe you know a person that they don't get to eat very regularly. Come. We always provide enough food. And if we happen to run out of food, we'll go buy more food. I'll take my family out to eat after the dinner. It doesn't matter to us. We just like to hang out with people. We're going to have the gazebo set up for this weekend. We got picnic tables out there. And so we're going to be able to have a great time of fellowship. So come and be a part of that. That's this coming Sunday. So, let's look in 2 Peter chapter 2 today. We've been talking about some characteristics, some behavioral patterns, if you will, that God wants to deliver from the body of Christ. And so we want to make sure that we don't have any of these in our life. Let's begin reading once again at verse number 12. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They are forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained in the madness of the prophet. So I believe on Friday we concluded with discussing about that they would receive the wages of unrighteousness. Don't be deceived. There is not anything that you deserve on an eternal scale that God is not going to compensate you for. If you have left houses and parents and jobs and other things like that for the sake of the kingdom, he said you will not fail to receive many times over as much in the kingdom of God. And then he also says, and in this life also. And the converse is also true, and that is that if we have rejected God, if we have rejected his word, if we have rejected Jesus, if we have rejected his body, if we have rejected all of his wisdom and counsel, then there is also a paycheck, a compensation package, if you will, that awaits us, or awaits those who do that. And that is that they will not be compelled, they will not be forced to spend an eternity with a God that they despised. And so you don't want to do it, but God says that there are going to be people who do that, that there will be people who choose darkness over light. They will choose unrighteousness over righteousness. And he says in verse number 13, he gives this description, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. Now you might look at that situation and some people might say, well, what does God object to us enjoying ourselves during the daytime? And I don't believe that there's anything that he objects to you enjoying life, period. All I do know is this, that there is a time to work and there is a time to play. And what I believe that this passage of Scripture is saying is that there are people who are rejecting God's timeline and God's purpose, and they are choosing to embrace their own. There should be a time when we are praying, and there should be a time when we are out there doing the work of the ministry. There is a time to sleep, and there is a time to wake up. There is a time to rest, and there is a time to work. And so we need to accept God's timeline and God's plan and purpose for our life. Now, last week, by the conclusion of Monday night, if you just throw in Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I looked and I calculated the number of hours I had worked during that point in time, and it was like, oh my goodness, no wonder I'm tired. I've almost put in a full work week in those 3 days, and so for me, I've got to remember to focus on enjoying the Sabbath rest that God gives me. And I want you to know that I did that before that started. I really enjoyed my Friday. It was a pretty relaxing day. I'm trying to think of everything that I did prior to that, but I tell you, after 3.5 days of that, I was really thankful that I'd taken God's wisdom to enjoy a Sabbath rest, because I didn't realize how busy I was going to be over the course of those 3 days. But there are others who are so busy enjoying life that they have forgot to take up the mantle of responsibility. I want you to know, you were created for a purpose. There are a lot of people who look around at the wicked and they say, wow, in Psalm 73, the psalmist goes through a very similar passage. And he said, I looked around at the wicked, and when I saw all that they were going through, all that they were enjoying, and how difficult life was for the righteous, he said, my foot had almost slipped. And then I entered into the house of the Lord. He said, I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return, and waters are a full cup, or of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And there is their knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. And he goes on and he talks like that for much of the psalm. And let me look and see. Verse number 21, thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all your works. Let me read verses 15 through 17. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. It is very important that we have an understanding. We talked about that on a broadcast last week, that where there is a lack of understanding, there will be evil speech. You and I need to have an understanding not only of their end, but also of our end. Someone once said, for the wicked, unless they repent, this is as good as it ever gets. This is as good as it ever gets. And for the righteous, no matter how bad it is, this is as bad as it will ever be. I want to fix your eyes today upon the end that awaits you, that you are going to be journeying with Jesus, that you are going to be worshiping him and spending eternity in his presence. You do not need to try and discount God's plan and purpose for this time and season in your life, but you need to avail yourself of it, and I encourage you to do that. Don't waste the season that God has given you. Don't miss the day of visitation. Jesus told Martha, Martha, you are troubled by many things, but Mary has chosen the better part. In other words, Jesus wasn't going to be there for very much longer, and she was availing herself of the teaching. There was other things, there was responsibilities that needed to be done. If nobody prepared the food, then no one was going to eat. But Jesus was only going to be in their house for a very short period of time. And he said, Mary has chosen the better part. Let's choose this week to make the most out of every opportunity that God gives us. Let's make the most out of it. Amen. So it goes on and it says, the latter part of verse 13, he says, they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. And I want to take you to a passage of scripture. This is an old sermon illustration that God gave me. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Right now, it is true that every church that you encounter, every congregation, you are going to be able to look around and you are going to be able to find fault with them. If you go looking for fault, you will find them. I remember when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I would go to ministers' meetings, and as I was fellowshipping with the ministers, I would be looking at their building because my structure had so much repair that needed to be done to it, that I was looking to see how it should be done. And I was having a conversation with the host pastor one day, and I explained what was going on. He said, I was wondering why you were focusing on my building so much. And I told him, recently I was having a conversation with one of our men, and we were discussing some projects, and I started mentioning something to him, and he said, oh, you don't have to tell me. He said, I noticed that particular thing the very first day that I walked into this building. And you know, there would be some people that would see the blemishes and they would run away from it. There are other people that look at the blemishes and they see there's opportunity. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about that Jesus is coming for a church that was without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And yet in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter describes that there are people in the church who are spots and blemishes at that current time. So what is going to take place between 2 Peter chapter 2 and the coming of Christ for his bride in Ephesians chapter 5? Let me give you an illustration that describes this pretty simply. The day that my wife and I got married, I was told to report to the church, and she was at her house. She was going through all of the preparations. The photographer was there, the hairdresser, the makeup, and all of that sort of stuff. All of the preparations were going on, and there were a few wrinkles that came up that morning that had to be addressed so that the timeline got thrown off. But the photographer was taking all of these pictures for the wedding, and took pictures after the wedding and all of that. And so we are looking through the pictures, and there's a picture of my wife that was taken before the wedding ceremony, and you look at her, she's got this big beautiful smile on her face, she's just glowing and just radiating with joy. And I look at that picture, and it's one of my favorite pictures. And the very first time my wife looked at that picture, she saw something in the picture that I did not see. And that was that through the lace sleeve that she had, it was a long lace-sleeved gown, I believe. And I do remember there was a lace sleeve portion there, and she looked at that, and she could see the hanger strap that they sewed onto the inside of the dress so that the dress would hang on the hanger properly, and it was improperly positioned when the dress got put on that day, and it was showing on her sleeve, or on her upper arm as they were taking the photo, and she saw the blemish and or the imperfection in the photo, maybe one of these days I'll get that photoshopped out. But she focused on the blemish, and I was focusing on the person. You see, the bridal gown, there's nothing mentioned about that. I've got a lot of clothes that are hanging in my closet. When I got them, they were perfectly fine. But since I've worn them, and many of them I've worn a lot and for many years, and every once in a while I will miss my mouth with whatever I'm eating, and it'll fall down and get on the shirt, and in spite of all of your best efforts to get that stain out, the stain won't come out. And so there are certain shirts that I only wear if I'm bumming around, or if I'm casual, or if I'm out working in the yard or something like that. I don't wear that particular garment if I'm going to dress up someplace. And the same is true with the Bride of Christ. Currently, every congregation has two things that are represented in that church. There is the bride, that which has been redeemed, that which is being perfected and refined and made holy. And there is also what is described here in 2 Peter chapter 2, that are spots and blemishes. You say, well, such things ought not to be. And I tell you, I believe that at Merit Assembly of God, that what we need is a few more good sinners. I believe that God is in the redemption business. How are people going to be refined if there's never interaction with any of the holy people of God? I believe that there are people that should be in the transformation process, from being transformed from blemish into the bride. But make no mistake about it, when it comes time for the rapture, if you are part of the bride, you are going. If you are part of the blemish, you are staying, and God doesn't want you being left behind. So please do not wink at any sin issues in your life. Please do not make excuses for them. Please do not embrace them as just a personality trait or anything like that. But instead, bring them to the foot of the cross. Ask Jesus to forgive them, to cleanse them, and replace them with something that is holy. I encourage you today. It says, these people are spots and blemishes, and they are carousing in their own deceptions. They are carousing in their own deceptions. They are just enjoying the delusion that they're living in. Have you ever known somebody that thought that they were God's gift to women, or God's gift to men, or God's gift to humanity, and they were a legend in their own mind? Jesus said that when you go to a feast, do not sit at the head table, but instead take a lower seat. If you sit more elevated than what you should, there may be someone that comes along that is more deserving than you, and then the master will say, take a lower level seat, and then you are humiliated. But if you take a lower level seat, you may be invited to a higher level seat, and then you will be exalted in front of all of those other people. See, it has to do with understanding that you and I should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. When we first came to Florida, we did not know anyone. And it took us a few weeks, and once we got here, actually, here in just a few days, we will be celebrating 26 years that we've lived in Florida. We arrived on the Sunday before Thanksgiving is the year that we arrived, and we had some sickness that once we got here, adjusting to all of this beautiful sunshine instead of the cold where we were accustomed to coming from. And we found a church, we got plugged in, we started serving, and I'll never forget, they had a fellowship dinner, and so we decided to go in, and we thought that we would sit towards the back because that's what we always do. What we didn't, we got about halfway back, and we said, why don't we just go ahead and stop here and sit here, and that's what we did. And it was a good thing, because here's what we realized, that the table that we thought was the back table actually ended up being the head table, and if we had sat there, we would have been asked to move, because that wasn't where we were supposed to sit. That was reserved seating for whatever people were being honored at that particular time. And I've never forgotten that. It's like, There are people who are carousing in their own deceptions. There are people who are sometimes lying to themselves and saying, well, I didn't deal with the problem yesterday, and I didn't deal with it the day before, and so I don't really need to deal with it today, and I don't really need to deal with it tomorrow. I'll deal with it some other time, and some other time never comes. I tell you, let's start off this week and say, let's deal with the issue right up front. Let's proceed, and let's deal with these things. Let's not deceive ourselves any longer. There are many people who deceive themselves, and it's always another fault, another issue, and they never look in the mirror. You know, I've told a story for years that if you had a problem with husband number one and husband number two and husband number three, husband number four and husband number five, you might want to look into the mirror, because the problem may not have been with all of those different men. The problem might have been looking at you every morning when you brushed your teeth. The same could be true if we flipped the coin around. The problem may not be with your wife, and it may not be with your coworker, and it might not be with your kids, and it might not be with your customers. There might be a problem. There may be some issues in your life and some issues in my life that we say, you know what, I need to stop enjoying the lie and start embracing the reality. And you know what? The reality is not what I say, and the reality is not what you say. The reality is, what does God have to say? How do you respond to the reality, to the truth of God's word? If God's word says one thing and you say another, I need to remind you of the scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar. God does not lie. His perception is never faulty. His judgments are always righteous and true. They are never skewed. They are never due to a lack of information. We talked earlier about a lack of understanding on our part. God never suffers that fate. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And so I encourage you today, embrace the reality and allow God to transform you into the man or the woman that he knows that you can be. Just got a few seconds here, and I will just say this. It says that the people who are carousing in their own deceptions, they do that while they feast with you. Sometimes you may not know what's going on. Actually, I would tell you this. Most of the time, you don't really know what's going on in the heart of the people that are to your right and to your left, but God does. And so I just encourage you today that you would ask God, say, God, deal with me. Don't let there be any deception hiding in my heart. The easiest person to lie to is myself, and I don't want to be a liar. I want to embrace the truth of God's word. Let's see God change us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would